This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, or a Tuesday, I'm sorry, a Tuesday. It is a Tuesday. Here's what we have on tap for tonight. We're going to talk about how norms have changed. Don't you hate that term, norms? We're going to talk about a gigantic example of how badly they've changed with the strategic oil reserve and stuff. We'll get to that in a minute. We're going to talk about government mentality. We're going to talk about,
power, how it moves, how it adjusts, what's happening right now in the country. Democrats, how much they love abortion. Jamie Dimon is talking about inflation. Apparently, the FBI had a plan to use deadly force when they raided Mar-a-Lago. All that, emails. In fact, I'm getting involved in a primary in the state of Texas. We're going to have someone on about 30 minutes from now. I know, what do I care about that? It's Texas. I don't care. Everyone's getting involved. All that and more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here, though. And it is an interesting thing, crazy thing, weird thing, how much human beings will adjust to the conditions they are put in. I have always found it fascinating. It's obvious when you take a step back and look at it, why God made us that way. I do this. I know it's really stupid, but if I'm watching, let's say I'm doing what I always do and watch a documentary of some kind about this society. Shut up, Chris, about this society or this battle or this war about World War One, because I love World War One. We talk about it a lot. The trenches of World War One. Stay with me. In 1915, on the Western Front, You can make an argument for anything when it comes to warfare, but being a soldier, one of the ground troops in 1915 in World War One, may have been the most prolonged, miserable existence any soldier has ever gone through. Now, obviously, you could send me your emails. That's fine. It's actually a fun argument. That's subjective. Who knows that? But you can make an argument. So picture this. You live your life, for the most part, in a trench. It's not lovely. It's full of mud. It's full of water. Therefore, your feet are constantly rotting out from under you and aching. You have trench foot. When you stick your head above the trench, if one of your friends do, you will get shot in the face. You have buried several of your friends who you were able to bury, and you had to bury them in the trench because if you leave the trench, you will die. In fact, when you're shoring up the trench, putting dirt and sandbags in front of the trench, you will find yourself, as you're digging, you're putting pieces of your friend that come up in the dirt into the sandbag and using your friend's foot for cover. You wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, and there are rats crawling all over you. And maybe you thought this was as bad as it gets, but it's actually so much worse. Because you can't just stay in that trench. Occasionally, you will be ordered to go over the top, as they called it, and you will have to come out of the trench. And because your commanders don't know what they're doing, all this new technology, you're sitting there with your rotted feet and your dead friends, and you know when that whistle blows, that's how they would normally signal it's time for you to go, that you are about to die. Everyone in your unit will die because there's a machine gun nest pointed directly at where you're coming over the top. You just hope you can send enough men that he'll run out of bullets in time for you to get to him and take their trench. And this is your entire life. And that, honestly, may not even be the worst of it. Maybe you'll be out in the open one day. Maybe it'll be nighttime and you'll have to go use the bathroom because your guts are a mess from your existence. Maybe you will end your days falling into an artillery hole that's now full of water and, other people had to answer nature's call in that same hole. and your gear will pull you down to the bottom of it, and you will drown in the middle of the night alone like that. That is not some crazy side story. That's World War I on the Western Front. A list of horrors like you can't imagine. So what I do when I'm watching something like that, I guess it's a human thing that I do. This will come back to politics. Stay with me. But when I'm watching stuff like that, what I try to do is I try to put myself there. And it's not as if I'm completely unexperienced when it comes to military training or even combat or something like that. I'm certainly no warrior or no Marine or anything like that. Just a 4-year average grunt Marine. That's all I was. But I will tell you, I look and I say to myself, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do it. I feel like my mind would break. And many men's minds did break, by the way. I feel like my mind would break. I don't know how you could do it. But here's the truth. How did all those men do it? So many men did it and held it together, at least somewhat. How did they do it? The human mind, God made us to adjust. We adjust to our circumstances. Whenever you're looking out at this person and what they're going through or this group of people, and you say to yourself, I could never. Oh my gosh, it would be the worst. I could never. You know, somebody locked in captivity. Someone got kidnapped and they're tied up in a basement for 2 years. You've heard these stories, and eventually they escape, and you say to yourself, how did they do it? Mentally, how did you make it? How did you not just break? What happened? Human beings adjust. Now, like most of human nature, it can be a very, very good thing, a life-saving thing. If your mind didn't adjust, you'd never make it. You would break. But it can also be a very, very bad thing, because what happens is, over time, you will come to accept the unacceptable. I will be conditioned over a long enough period of time to accept things we should never, ever, ever, ever accept. There was a headline today. I would bet money you probably didn't even hear about it. And I would almost guarantee that no other show would lead with this story the way I'm about to. And that's not that I'm better or anything like that. I saw it and my jaw dropped. You know what the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is? You know what it is? Obviously, it goes without saying. It's pretty self-explanatory. But we keep, in various places around the country, it's not one spot. It's not one big reservoir of oil. We keep, in various places across America, big oil reserves. Why? Well, the world runs on oil. It's not America. The world. The world runs on oil and gas. It does. It powers everything. It's used to manufacture everything. It's everything. If you don't have it, you have to go get it. And if you can't get it, you basically have to fight a war to get it. Japan did it. That was really the main thing that prompted the attack on Pearl Harbor. Japan didn't have oil. We were giving it to them. We said, okay, no more oil for you. And they said, okay, screw it. We're attacking. That's how important oil is. It's everything. We need it. We don't refine near as much of it as we used to in this country because we've allowed the climate change nut jobs to destroy the manufacturing sector of this nation. Republicans and Democrats have allowed this to happen to the country. So we really, really need it now. This is everything. It doesn't feel like everything because you've never needed it. I've never needed it. It doesn't feel like everything. WW3 kicks off with China and Russia tomorrow. That will become maybe the most important thing on the planet while America tries to figure out where we're going to get our oil, who's going to refine it for us, how do we get it here once it's refined. People don't even think about that. Well, they're refining it over there. Okay, then you've got to ship it across an ocean. If you're in the middle of World War III, what do you think China and Russia are going to be attacking? Our supply lines. It would take virtually the entire U.S. Navy to protect our fuel lines, our cargo lines, to get the fuel into the country. And the Navy we need to do that runs on oil. It's everything. Our Strategic Petroleum Reserve is everything if something bad happens. Credit to him, Donald Trump waited till prices were low after he got them low, and then filled it up. It was a brilliant move. Honestly, brilliant move. One of the best things he did in his presidency. Gets no credit for it because no one needed it. It was empty. Trump waited till prices were down, filled it up, got a great deal. America won. And then 2022 was coming. And things looked like they were going to go bad for Joe Biden. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Before we talk about that, things are going to go bad for your dog if you don't start giving him real nutrition. Dogs are living things just like you and me, flesh and blood. That means they need vitamins and minerals. They need probiotics. They need omega oils. They need digestive enzymes, antioxidants, just like you do. You prioritize nutrition for you, right? So why don't we give ourselves nutrition and then give our dogs dog food? There's no nutrition in dog food. Pour Rough Greens on your dog's food. What is it? Well, it's green because it's alive. It's all natural nutritional supplement that gives your dog everything your dog needs. You'll see a difference in your dog's coat. Did you know that? Physical differences in your dog. Physical ailments will clear up. Just like what happens to you when you get real nutrition. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? How's that sound? Call 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll continue this oil reserve talk next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, like 10 minutes away from getting involved in primaries like I have told you about, like we have promised we would. Obviously, we're also going to get to the
Act. After I signed the PAC Act into law.
But first, we're talking about something that the Biden administration did today. We're discussing how the human mind, the human condition is that we end up accepting the unacceptable because things have been terrible for long enough. So we're doing a little rewind first. Leading up to the midterms, Biden's approval rating was in the toilet because Biden sucks and he's an idiot. And one of the main reasons his approval rating was so low is gas prices. I've told you this before. Under the Roosevelt administration, this goes back, presidential administrations have all known, Democrat and Republican. You can track your approval rating because it goes right along with gas prices. Barack Obama, I think that's almost verbatim his quote. I could track my approval rating to gas prices. Gas prices are everything to the American people, the norms and normas out there. They don't know anything, but they know what it costs to fill up their car. The Biden administration was in trouble heading into the midterms. And so the Biden administration drained our strategic petroleum reserve to get a temporary drop in gas prices so they could win more seats in the House. I'll just go ahead and fast forward and just spoil the ending for you here. Headline from the AP. Biden releasing 1 million barrels of gasoline from the Northeast Reserve in a bid to lower prices at the pump. That's from today. So they just did it again. His approval rating's bad. His poll numbers look bad. Now, let's pause for a moment and think about how far we've fallen. Let's say you have a normal country, the Republic of Jesse. We've broken off and we've started a normal country with normal values. We value things like family, small government, community, border security, things like that. A normal country, the kind of country you want, the kind of country I want. And in the Republic of Jesse, we end up with a really, really bad guy as president. We'll call him Chris. So President Chris, he takes our strategic fuel supply that we need in case we get attacked. And we have enemies everywhere. They're circling all around us. And we'll need that fuel if they attack us. And because Chris wants to win an election, Chris goes and he drains all the oil out of it so he can win an election. In a normal country, what do you think should happen to the head of state if he did something like that? It's not a minor political thing. That's high treason. That's a felony. I would argue, and you don't have to be some draconian society, if you even have
a remotely sane country if the head of state drains the emergency oil reserves to help his poll numbers. Not only should he be impeached and removed from office, Joe Biden should spend the rest of his life in prison. That's a 6-month prison sentence. That would be the normal reaction in a normal country. In the United States of America, I don't really think this has even been in the news today. It was a little side headline that I happened to find when I was browsing through various news sites, figuring out what's out there. The president of the United States of America cannot lower the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to lower gas prices. That's not why the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is there, to help your approval rating. And this is the second time he's done it. And it shows you where we are. Honestly, it's not even about Biden and how evil and selfish and awful these people are. It's really not even about him. That's a given by now. It's more about us. It's more about the natural reaction to these things, where we've been so conditioned to the fact that our leaders, Republican and Democrat, are the most evil, putrid, selfish people who lead any country on the planet, that we will wake up and see a headline that the president has left this country with nothing in case we are attacked, and we all just go, yeah, I can see that. That sounds like him. Today, there should be a GOP press conference, every Republican in the House, every Republican in the Senate. It's led by Donald Trump himself and every Republican governor in the country. They've all gathered in D.C. to announce immediate investigations into the Biden administration. The House has announced impeachment. They are going all in. Why? Because the president of the United States of America doesn't get to destroy the country for his poll numbers. Instead, we've been so abused for so long. What is it? Another slap? Another kick in the teeth? Just another abuse from Washington? And I've gotten so used to it. You've gotten so used to it. We don't even really bat an eye anymore. It's just how it goes now. We are doomed because of an apathetic public that won't get involved in politics. We are doomed to be led by the dumbest, most evil people in the United States of America. And I'm so frustrated for you. I'm frustrated for me. I'm so frustrated watching these people do this to our country. And I'm more than anything frustrated with the lack of outrage. People get mad at me because sometimes I get mad. I get mad because you're not. If you're not mad, you're half dead or half asleep right now. This is ridiculous. All right, let's move on. Let's get involved in something locally. Let's try to change the GOP. Before we do that, let's try to stop crime. No, I'm not talking about nationwide. I'm not talking about cleaning up the streets of New York. I'm just talking about you. You, personally. Stopping a criminal from hurting you. It's everywhere now. A mugging, a stabbing, a shooting. It's everywhere now. Everywhere you turn, somebody's being hurt. Someone's having something taken from them. Burn a pistol launchers are non-lethal and they're legal in all 50 states. No permit needed, no background check needed. They'll mail it to your front door. Carry something on you that will allow you to protect yourself. These things shoot pepper balls or tear gas balls. Their ratings, the reviews are off the charts. SWAT teams are gobbling them up as fast as possible. Get on the Byrna bandwagon. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse gets you 10% off. Get one for you and the person you love the most. All right? We'll be back with the primary challenger next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, reminding you, you can email the show if you want. Love, hate, death threats. Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Well, as we've said many, 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 many times on the show, you're probably sick of me saying it.
the primary you sit out is infinitely more important than the general election you vote in. But we have a fraction of the participation in primaries that we do in the general. We don't vote in primaries, or we go vote for the same loser who's in, and then we wake up every other day of the year and complain about the GOP. Well, how do you think you change it? Complaining? Magic? Kick them out of office. Here in Texas, our GOP is pathetic. It's awful. It's a disgrace. People who live in blue areas like New York, I mean, they're suffering. Complete suffering. In Texas, we could have whatever we wanted, and instead we have a bunch of losers here. And so let's bounce some of those losers. Joining me now, a man running to primary the big cheese in the Texas State House. David Covey is his name. He's running. It doesn't matter. Texas House District 21 is his district, but the district is not as, the district matters. Don't get me wrong, but that's not as important as the courage it takes to challenge the big red machine in a state like Texas. David, why are you doing this? What's wrong with you?
Good to be with you. Enough is enough. We elect Republicans and expect them to govern like conservatives, and then they go stab us in the back and they give power to liberal Democrats. It makes no sense. And so, for me, it was enough is enough. I have to do my part, which is to run against the guy who happens to be the Speaker of the House here in my home district.
Tell us, first of all, before we get to that loser, tell us about you, who you are, what prompted this, what's your story?
Yeah, I'm just a local Republican activist. I got involved as a precinct chair, which is the very bottom volunteer position in the party. Became a county chair, and then I worked on the executive committee of the state Republican Party in Texas. And the more I learned, the more I was disappointed in our Republican elected officials, because as delegates and Republicans, we work really hard on our platform. You know, those principles that we believe, limited government, pro-life, Second Amendment. And then we elect people thinking they're going to uphold these values. And the more I saw, the more I was disappointed that they weren't. And, I have a normal job. I work in the oil and gas industry in Southeast Texas. I have volunteered. But ultimately, what I came down to was all of us have to do a little more than we're doing if we're going to save our state and our country.
Gosh, I friggin' love that. A little more than we're doing. Normal guy works in oil and gas and decided to get involved. Now, I don't want to act to everybody out there listening like it's all sunshine and roses when you start trying to take away someone's power, whether it's some dirty commie on the school board or some low-T GOPer like Dade Phelan in Texas. There's going to be pushback, and they're not going to hand that power over. How's it been for you since you announced? What have they done?
Man, they have come after me in every way. And I used to think that the liberals, they twist the truth. No, they just make it up. They'll make it up. They lie without ceasing. And they come after your job, your family, your religion, everything, because they are so desperate. Their identity is their power. And so they're really not in it for principle. Integrity doesn't mean anything. They just want to hold on to that power.
Why are you challenging this specific person? Give people a good idea, because people don't know Texas state politics. What did he do? Why even challenge him at all?
You know, everyone has their district, and some people have better representation than others. My district happened to have a guy named Dade Phelan, who is elected as a state representative in our district, and then at the House of Representatives, the body there elected him Speaker of the House. So he becomes Speaker with all the Democrats voting for him and 11 Republicans. And then he is a Republican, by the way. He claims to be. His actions wouldn't indicate he is, but he's elected by the Democrats, and as part of the payoff, he appoints them over important committees so they move their legislation. And he actually got more Democrat legislation passed than Republican legislation. And so this guy is elected as a Republican, but stabs us in the back like this. And he has committed, if reelected, he will do it again. And so I said, look, the big bad guy here in the House, the Texas House, is my guy. So I'm partly responsible. Our district is responsible for what we're doing, because down here we believe that as Texas goes, so goes the nation. And so we have to keep Texas red and be a solid, conservative, free, independent state. And when you have a guy selling us out, he's ultimately going to be part of flipping the state blue. And so we said, enough's enough. I've got to jump in this. And it could have been anyone, but he's never been challenged since he first won the office almost 10 years ago. And so we jumped in. We couldn't find anyone else, and here we go.
You know what I love the most about that is the personal ownership of it. I've been trying to be better about that a lot more myself, David, of this is my fault. You know, we have a crappy senator in this state, John Cornyn. It's my fault. I'm a resident here. I need to do more. I need to do more. I love that people are owning that. Now tell people, you decided to run for office. You're challenging this big shot in the state of Texas. There are people listening coast to coast right now. How hard has it been to run for office? I know it's been difficult, but do you wish you had a degree from Harvard? Do you wish you'd had some special education? Or as you've gotten into this, have you found that you belong here just like everyone else?
That was probably the most insightful thing I learned, was that these guys that I thought, you know, ran everything and were so special, they put their pants on one leg at a time. And ultimately, all it takes is a willing spirit, a brave spirit, a spirit that loves this country and will do the right thing no matter the cost. And they will discourage you. They will tell you you're not good enough. You don't have the right education. You don't have the right contacts, pedigree. You know, you have to look a certain way. They'll try to make you fit into this mold. And basically they're the only ones that fit into the mold they have created. But ultimately what makes a change is stepping out, and it takes so few people to make a big change. I think that's the most important lesson I've learned, is one person can really make a difference. And so, you know, whoever's out there listening and then they're thinking about, oh, it's too big, we can't make a difference, you know, I've stepped out and my family has supported me and friends and community, but oftentimes they need someone to step out and lead. And then people get behind you. They're looking for that brave spirit that's ready to say, enough's enough. Let's stand for truth. Let's do what's right.
Amen. All it takes is one brave soul stepping out. David, I give you all the credit in the world. I have so much admiration for you and what you're doing and the guts it takes. I know it will inspire other people. If people want to support you, and I want them to, I'm rooting so hard for you. What do they do? Can they do that? Can anyone do that?
Yes. Yeah. Anyone can support us. You can support us. Send us a couple dollars at coveyfortexas.com. Go look at my platform. You can see it's a limited government conservative platform, and anyone can run on this and I think be successful, because America still is a country that's conservative by and large. Coveyfortexas.com. We would welcome any support.
CoveyForTexas.com. I will be going there. David, credit to you, sir. Your credit to your family, your country, and your community. Well done. Well done. Just a normal guy. You know what he's got? Guts. That's what it takes. That's all it takes. I don't like speaking, but Jesse, I don't like speaking in front of people. You'll get used to it. Believe me, you will. And you're not going to start out in front of some crowd of 100,000 people pooping your pants on stage. You'll start small, 10, 20 people. You'll learn. You'll get better at it. No, they're not special, the people who are in there now. You might find when you get involved, you're actually better than them, smarter than them, more equipped for it. You. Maybe it's you. Hey, pray about it. All right? Maybe call or text a friend, someone you love the most. Make sure, look, this is important. Make sure you call on your Pure Talk phone to make sure it goes through. You see, when you switch to Pure Talk, you're onto this gigantic 5G network. When I switched from T-Mobile to Pure Talk, my cell phone service got better. We used to drop calls in this one room in our house every single time. No more. Pure Talk shares your values as well. They don't take your money and throw it at Planned Parenthood and Black Lives Matter. Pure Talk, as you heard last night, they're trying to bring veterans back into the world, trying to prevent veteran suicide. They're on an all-out mission to help these men, help them. All you have to do is switch. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Takes 10 minutes on the phone to switch your cell phone service. That's it. And you'll pay less. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I am going to get to some emails before I get into this Fauci talk and illegals talk and inflation talk and all kinds of stuff. There's a ton I have to get to, but I should probably address a few things from Joe Biden's speech today. Look, I mean, it's a lot more
after
than
I
this.
Signed the PAC Act into law.
Forgetting about that. I heard this, and I guess I have questions. And
by the way, I say to every young man thinking of getting married, marrying a family of five or more daughters. I did. My wife's the oldest of five sisters. You know why? One of them will always love you. Not to.
What? Chris, I heard that right? Could you do me a favor? Is there a way to turn the volume up to make sure everyone can hear this? What did he say?
And by the way, I say to every young man thinking of getting married, marrying a family of five or more daughters. I did. My wife's the oldest of five sisters. You know why? One of them will always love you. Not
marry into a family of five or more daughters because one of them will always love you. You know what? Let's move on. He said some other stuff.
Biden administration is working around the clock to free the remaining hostages, just as we have freed hostages already. And here with us today is Hirsch Goldberg Poland, and still, he is not here with us, but he's still being held by Hamas.
And here with us today is Hirsch. He's not here, though. He's still in some dungeon in Gaza somewhere. Sorry, Hirsch. My bad. All right. And then, of course,
he dropped this line. He had to do the pro-veteran thing. And you know why. You know why they do this. It's not because they give a crap about the country or veterans or anything like that. They care so little about veterans that they not only left our Marines and Army high and dry over there in Afghanistan, after getting 13 of them killed, he was so angry about having to show up at their service when their bodies were returned back to the country that he checked his watch the entire time. Democrats believe the military is political against them. They believe the flag is political against them. But they understand you have to keep the stupid 60, 70-year-old Democrat voting Democrat because he still thinks it's JFK's party. So you got to say things like
this. In America,
this. We
leave no veteran behind. That's the motto.
We leave no veteran behind. When's the last time you talked to a veteran, a GWAT veteran? Global War on Terror, sorry. When's the last time you talked to a GWAT veteran? Think they feel left behind? Shoot, I left the VA when I was poor. When I got back from Iraq, I was having all kinds of these stomach problems. Couldn't figure out what was going on. My stomach was just bothering me all the time. And trying to get care at the VA was just a nightmare. It was a freaking nightmare. And this is back before the VA went crazy during COVID and all that. You just couldn't get anything. And finally, by the grace of God, I got a job that had good health insurance benefits. I haven't walked back in a VA since. I got free healthcare sitting at me. They got a huge VA here in Houston. I have free healthcare sitting for me right there. I won't go. I'd rather stay home. Just kill me. But yeah, no, they're definitely interested in taking care of the veterans and caring for those we send into harm's way.
America has a lot of obligations, only one truly sacred obligation. Sacred obligation. And that's to prepare those we send into harm's way and to care for them and their families when they come home. And if they don't come home, care for their families.
They didn't come home. And when confronted with their families, Joe Biden checked his watch because he had somewhere better to be. All right, before we get into some illegal immigration talk, I want to do a couple emails. Oracle, even in good times, restaurant profit is very low. I was raised in my uncle's steakhouse. The way things are going with skyrocketing food prices and good help is almost impossible to find, I fear that restaurants will one day be no more. Well, I've talked to a couple restaurant managers I know about this very, very thing. I've been talking to them recently, and no, they didn't say they think restaurants are going to go away. I don't think that'll ever happen. I mean, this is something historic. Historically, you can look back, and there was always a little shop that would cook up food, and you could go in and pay for it and get a meal made for you. That's how it's been done for the longest time. So it's not that they're going to go away, but they are. The industry itself was already changing because of food delivery services, DoorDash and Uber Eats and all that stuff. Because of that, restaurant managers will tell you the bulk of the business they do is delivered. It's to-go orders. It's not a side item anymore. It used to be a side thing. Who orders food to go? Half the fun is going out. Yeah, you go out, you have fun, family, friends, enjoy yourself. Now, people don't do that. They want to grab their food. They want to go home or have it delivered to them at home. So it was already going to be different because of that. Restaurants, instead of being places that they kind of want you to come in and sit down, they know you're not going to. So why sink a fortune into it? Just make a kitchen. You're making a big kitchen that makes to-go orders. That's why McDonald's restaurants don't look like they used to. They're all just those ugly squares now. They wrote an article about it, more than one article about it. They changed their business model. They're like, hey, everyone gets it to go. No one comes in for the McDonald's playland. When we were raising our kids, we were always in a McDonald's playland. It was free. You go there for $10. Everyone gets to eat and the kids go play in the playland for free. Those things are going away. They're gone. They're leaving. So that's part of it. Are food costs going to change at all, though? They might. But look, things are going to change radically. But you know what? Before we get to that, let's talk about illegal immigration. There's a lot of that in the news. In fact, mass deportation. Marco Rubio's out there talking about it today. Let's chat next.
This is an iHeart podcast.